somehow occupy your mind. You fight the hurt when you're alone. Seems as though reality dropped another life at your feet. Now that you face another day, it leaves you feeling like you'd like to take it home. Your eyes see things and say, no way. Feels like there's an enemy in everyone who loves you. Tell me,
do you really think that
the government cares about you?
No, they don't.
Get to people. Who you gonna turn to next?
Who you gonna turn to?
Listen to me, I'm trying to tell y'all, yeah.
Get to people.
Self-respect.
Stop it,
tell people.
Show some love for yourself, people.
Life can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you. Leave you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances are the shortfalls of greed will never come to feel what you need. What you really want inside can only come from you. The day will come when all of your pride leaves you standing around looking like, what am I gonna do? You have those feelings deep inside, a strange kind of sadness can never get used to. Get to people. What are you trying to prove?
Come on, tell me, y'all.
Do you really think that
the world gives a damn about you?
Hell no, it don't.
Get to people.
Who you gonna turn to?
Who you gonna turn to?
Listen, people. You better take a look at yourself, yeah.
Talking to my people,
but you just don't see
what you're living
at. Living like you're living,
living like you're living.
Caught up in the make-believe,
lost in your dream.
Get to people.
Stop giving up your self-respect.
Stop it, y'all.
Talking to my people, yeah.
Take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you. Leave you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances on the shortfalls of greed will never come to feel what you need. When what you really want inside can only come.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family, Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day and a good weekend. Hoping, too, that you can get a chance to do all the things that you want to do, can do, should do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must get done, it will get done, because you will do it. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled, and pretty much updated. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening, this program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. Monday and Wednesday, our story at 7 to 9, from 7 to 9 on Monday and Wednesday, our story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. On Thursdays, the Black Liberation Movement from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. on Friday, this evening, Friday, 8 p.m., yeah, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Sunday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday, Pinckney to Pinckney, activist and Reverend Edward Pinckney's program out of Benton Harbor, Michigan. At 7 p.m. on Sunday, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. The Inyas Asim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. And then I have a little announcement after this. Baruti's program. It's going to be next week, Saturday. That's right, we'll announce that. May 29th. Global equality is accessible only through raw, naked power. Power that is economic, yes, but power that is also military. All other avenues have been tried and found wanting. Clarence Mumford. The military is the institution with the responsibilities of defending the people from others who have deprived them of their way. Whether of a standing army or organized out of citizen soldiers at a moment's notice, it is the arm extension of any whole culture. It is only healthy, solvent, sovereign people grounded in their fully functioning culture who can successfully wage a physical battle against any aggressing group or other nation whose hostility in some way prevents them from being self-defining and self-defending, self-empowering, and whole. The military is not just a minor appendage of society. In contrast to other social institutions, during times of invasion, assault, occupation, domination, or other harmful violations from outside, the military ascends as the most important institution. The intellect, energy, and resources of the educational, political, religious, family, and economic institutions become dedicated to the war effort. for it is a natural defense mechanism for people to protect themselves. It is a first response for any living organism. And society is a living organism. Any people conscious of being threatened or attacked mobilizes for defense and retaliation to school the other attacker. It is only people who have become vanquished into a submissive pacification who do not respond militarily to invasion, assault, occupation, or dominance from outside. Affirm, I am credible. Military threat. Affirm, I am a credible military threat. May 30th. Revolution is not a gig for crybabies. I repeat, revolution is not a gig for crybabies. Nana Kantu, Baba Del Jones. What we are now listening, what we are now witnessing is a cultural and social degeneration through multiple generations of progressive spoilage. There have been misguided spoilage in our communities before, but this is new. It is a selfish, hedonistic, willful, and arrogant form of spoilage which comes with no sense of benevolence, humanistic responsibilities to others who, whatsoever, unless some form of reward is offered. These afflicted in this way have no desire to work or accomplish anything of worth except possibly when it affords the opportunity to gain more individualistic things and to satisfy a need for attention. Africans victimized in this way have no respect for others except for those with the will and means to punish them when disrespected. Those who reward them without this capacity are taken for granted and dismissed accordingly. With this new form of spoilage, our community's potential is to defend itself from external assault and internal discord have become even more difficult. Unknown to most of us, it is not our children's fault. They did not raise themselves. However, we know that there are those who know what they are doing. We have people who hide their pale insanities behind the mask of an African center, and those who claim to be warriors, but who refuse to do the work of relinquishing their highly individualistic European imperatives when rearing our children to do more damage to our movement than Negroes, lost souls, or even Europeans. Affirm. By example, I do not rear crybabies. Affirm, by example, I do not rear crybabies. Get it done. May 31st. The Greek tongue is a noise of words, a language of argument and confusion. Kemetic. These Europeans want to attribute to industrialization, mass society, the service economy they have spawned, some other impersonal force in this world, or simply some genetic quirk can be directly connected to the character of their cultural personality. Our evidence is based on the historical record. Divorce is the most glaring example of this fact. Its anomaly, high official legal divorce and separation, and unofficial, emotionally detached, distraught, cohabitation, separation without legal notice, serial monogamy within marriage, and bigamy. Levels have fluctuated little since their frigid, aggressive, domineering beginnings. The cause of this continuation in the inability of husbands and wives to be loving or even remain civil in spousal relationships is easily found in their geocultural personality. Excessive competitiveness, sexual sometimes I know the word and I'm trying to get it out. You know what I'm saying? I'm quite sure you had that problem. Antagonism, see? He's the word. Man. It's easily found in their geopolitical personality, excessive competitiveness, sexual antagonism, and any
idiosyncrasies and inequalities, no respect for the union of others, and no respect for the sanctity of the institution of marriage, but are a few of the many reasons they cannot get along in close quarters except during sex. We must remember to look at to origins. Mythology reflects a people's idea and normal state of being. Dysfunctional families, abuse, divorce were the norm amongst the gods and goddesses of Olympia, with Zeus and Hera, king and queen of those deities, having the worst fidelity and marital record. Man, I tell you, affirm I do not speak antagonistically to family members. Affirm I do not
speak. This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Of family members. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. I was going to do, it's an open mic today. I was going to do a piece with Brother Jamal. What is it, Rogers? That is, yeah, Roberts. Jamal Roberts, the brother who won American Idol. And then I seen something that talked about he was offered an opportunity to promote Tesla, you know, and supposedly based upon this thing I read, he turned it down. I was like, yeah, right on. You know, he turned it down. And he turned down Musk, as he should. I know it's a lot of money. And even though I researched it and nobody believes that it is true, that that's what happened, and maybe he will accept the millions of dollars that would probably go along with him endorsing Tesla for Elon Musk, you know. But and understand, too, brothers and sisters, this is America. I just read you this past stuff. It's America. Many of us are truly willing to do so. But if it was true that this brother had the integrity to stand up and not, after what Elon Musk has done and who he is and his family, apartheid, and still having it, still coming from a position of privilege and arrogance. To me, him with that chainsaw while they're cutting many people's jobs, people who might have worked for years, maybe a few decades, and like that, gone. And talking about that, well, you weren't effective, you know, as an employee, without really even knowing the person, but having to find some justification to terminate, and sometimes not even needing any justification, just go ahead and do it. We're discontinuing this department. You know, you have 30 days to get out or whatever, maybe even a lot less. And he was on that stage, just, you know, taking a chainsaw to him, just whacking it off. Well, of course, now, because of all the things that he's done, Tesla has had a severe hit. So now he has to pay attention to Tesla. And eventually, it may rebound. I hope it doesn't. You can buy other electric power cars now. Ford has them. Chevy has them. Other cars, other Japanese cars have them, you know. And their technology is any more superior than anybody else's. So, hey. But I just, as I read, I was like, man, this is right on. you know, it's going to be something good to talk about. Since I'm only doing an abbreviated program today, family, I have to get out of here. I have to go to New Orleans. It's my annual time to go to Nawlins, to the Executive Development Institute, to Dr. Carl Holmes, EDI, Executive Development Institute, where I do a class, me and two other great brothers, Brother Yosef Muhammad, Brother Yusuf Muhammad, out of New York, who now lives in Norfolk, Virginia, and Brother Brent Burton, retired captain. All of us are retired. And Brother Brent Burton is out of L.A. No. So, yeah. So I want to make sure I get to the airport on time and all that other good stuff. Although it's supposed to be raining around that time. We'll see. We'll see whatever happens. But I really wanted to, I wanted to applaud him, and I was hoping that it was true, that would be some more information, some quotes from him and so forth. But hey, it isn't. So, yeah, do what you got to do. So this is an open mic. And so if you want to give us a call, please do. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Good morning.
Good morning, Baba Oshu.
Hey, Brother Lusk. How are you doing, my friend?
Another day in the life, baby. Another day in the life. It's great to hear that you'll be going to Nawlins, as we pronounce it as, this weekend. One thing I love to pull your coattail on, though, is if you, at any way possible, you could make it to Dillard University for a couple of hours, preferably between 9 and 12 o'clock. There'll be a service, a very special service, in that recently there's a group of ladies who were able to secure 19 expatriated and they're going through the repatriation process of enslaved, it should have been enslaved because this was back in the 1800s or so, their skulls that was used for scientific research. And they're going to have a dignified memorial service for them at Wallace Memorial Chapel on the campus of Dillard University. So just thought I'd pull your coattails.
When is that going to be? When?
That's going to be tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
I'll be there.
Tomorrow, Saturday, from 9 to about 11:30.
9 a.m.? I'll be there.
Yes, at the university. And so there was an interview on WBOK radio that I was listening to earlier this morning and heard that they have received 19 skulls of people people that were used, their skulls were used for scientific research. Hint, hint, science /
right.
In Germany, And so the German institutions, whoever they are, whoever it is, there's an article that I'm trying to locate on it that said that we're going to return their skulls. Right.
Okay.
And because of this pseudo means false, pseudoscience of phonology, but they could study those skulls to determine intelligence and inferiority and suppressibility and all the other things associated with the human thought process or skull activity. So I thought I'd tune in, and
you
going to go to the city.
Yeah.
I say, oh man, I know I got to chime in early for this to let you know of the activity, sir.
I know that campus very well. I've been going to Dillard University for many years. Our program, the Black Firefighters Program, Executive Development Institute, we started it in the 90s at FAM. We did 5 years at FAM. Then we moved from FAMU, Florida A&M, to Dillard University in New Orleans. And Hurricane Katrina hit, And Hurricane Katrina hit, and then that took us out of Dillard for 5 years. We went to Clark Atlanta here in Clark Atlanta, okay. On the campus of Clark Atlanta, and Morehouse, Spelman, and of course Morris Brown. They weren't even still accredited at the time, and they've been talking about being accredited, and still nothing happening with Morris Brown. But occasionally they have something on their grounds, like a Juneteenth Day. That was a good one. And they had the Jollof Rice Festival. So we stayed here in Atlanta at Clark Atlanta for 5 years, and then we went back to Dillard University where we continued to be. Yep. And so I'm going to do that tomorrow from 9 to 7. Yes, thank you. Yes, I'm going to check it out. So,
I do have a strong association with Gentilly Boulevard, right?
Okay, so, yes.
Of course, that's where I was working prior to Hurricane Katrina, or at the time Hurricane Katrina was happening to the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but be that as it may, to still tune in to the city and their activities of sorts, just happened to have turned on the radio station emanating out of the city and caught wind of that, and I'm like, okay now. So once again, you've had the Tuskegee syphilis experiment.
Right.
You've had Henrietta Lacks.
Yes.
You've had all the kinds and types of science built around black bodies, if I may say so as such. And so now you have Germany, or people associated with the medical industry in Germany, or scientific industry in Germany, returning the skulls of 19 people who were indigenous as part of this area within about 1872 to 1886. Yeah. I thought I may have heard the date span. So I had to let you know that.
Right on.
And that hopefully will accentuate further your activities there as well.
Right on. Appreciate that so much. And I will talk about that on the 9th of June when I come back on that Monday, the 9th of June.
Very good.
And we'll give a good report. But I tell you, there I know it. You know, the amount of atrocities that these people have put upon us is just mind-boggling, because it was so consistent, so pervasive, and and yet and still, they feel, because to them, it's like mind over matter. They don't mind doing to us what they have done to us, because to them, we don't matter. We don't matter. And I know in the Black Lives Matter movement, no, we don't matter. But it should matter to us. Don't just say Black Lives Matter and they should. No, they don't give a damn. And they never have. And they never will. These are a people who develop over eons of time a mindset of selfishness, of greed, of sexist. These are some evil ass people. I just watched a piece in Namibia. The Germans still run everything in Namibia. The Germans, who are less than, just like South Africa, just single digits percent of the population, but dominate and control 80% all the good land and all of the activity. They have they stick to themselves, because they don't want to go into the slums. They don't want you to come into their area. It's all blocked off. Just same kind of apartheid system in Namibia as it is in Azania. But then they have a festival where they do a parade, and the parade watchers are us, watching these crackers drink all the beer and merriment, have all this fun. Oh, man, I tell you.
Take your time, brother. Yes, sir.
Yeah, my lady's always said, take a breath. Just take a breath.
Well, very good. Thank you for picking my call, as always. And as always, being a loyal listener and continued learner to this African Perspectives program.
Right on,
Jay,
brother.
And great weekend, sir.
All right, dear brother. Thank you so much, man. All right.
Brother, you're welcome.
Brother Ted Lusk. I say, Ashe, Ashe, oh. Brother Ted Lusk. Yeah. Yeah. See. So what am I going to do here? I'm going to. This one piece that I've seen kind of caught me. Yeah. And I think that it's worth playing again. This brother, yeah, modern day apartheid in Namibia. This is Brother Theo Wilson. Somebody heard him, but there's some sound information. He's talking about BRICS. Of course, you know what BRICS is. BRICS is the economic entity between Britain, Russia, Canada, China, and South Africa. That's BRICS. And a different kind of currency. And what the brother is saying here is that because the United States and how they operate, this could be deep. Let's check it out.
I'm the ordained to preside over not only the fall of America, but the fall of the entire Western world. And if you understand the crash course that BRICS and NATO is on with each other and how the war over Africa's resources will be the deciding factor, you understand how true that statement is. Let's break it down. Trump's ascendancy reflects how the West has declined morally. Trump embodies the very worst spiritual attributes of the West, and his ascendancy to power means that the West didn't face the spiritual challenges that the Most High was trying to give us so that we could really be great. Just in time for China and Russia to have already been linking up, creating trade deals with Africa to create a more equitable partnership, right when America's green industry needs Africa's minerals the most. We are in a classic case of what's called Thucydides' trap. This Greek philosopher Thucydides theorized that when a dominant power is threatened by a rising power, war is inevitable. And the only way to avert war is if the person who's in charge of the dominant power has the consciousness to maneuver around or submit to the rising power. And Donald Trump don't have that. Now let's take it to current events. This wasn't reported widely in the Western media, but Vladimir Putin's helicopter was almost assailed by 45 drones from Ukraine. Drones provided by guess who? Us. And then Trump calls Putin crazy from the largest megaphone on the planet. And I know this made MAGA upset because they elected Trump partially to avoid war with Russia. Notice how Putin survives an assassination attempt less than 2 weeks after he lays out the red carpet for Ibrahim Traoré. Now they got something else in common, surviving recent assassination attempts. Their bonds are going to be stronger than ever. And Ibrahim got the whole continent of Africa not only wanted to fight for fair market value for their resources, but wanted to push back against all colonial occupation, which is leading to civil unrest in the Ivory Coast. There's been rumors of a coup, has not been confirmed, but we know that General Langley, the black man who called out Ibrahim falsely for saying that he was a dictator, had just visited the Ivory Coast trying to set up a drone deal, probably to keep eyes on Ibrahim. Now, we know they're just rumors, but if a coup ends up being successful in the Ivory Coast, that means that the West loses a huge military foothold on the continent, and this expands Ibrahim's influence. And if Ibrahim and the Sahel Alliance start forming a partnership with BRICS, that means that those minerals go over there at a better market price. The West loses out even further. And here's where it gets interesting, because those African minerals could not only develop technology for Africa itself, but for Asia's military dominance, should the West decide to slip up and fight them head to head. Somebody might say, oh, it sounds like you are like pro-Putin and pro-BRICS. And I'm like, listen, you can't tell Africans if they're holding two hot coals which one is colder, baby. If Vladimir Putin is a dictator, that could be true at the same way that the Russian people never colonized Africa, which creates a better relationship for them to trade from. Either way, Putin wasn't too fond about that attempted drone attack on his helicopter. The idea that he might escalate is now pretty much inevitable. And here's the thing. I live in America. I do not want world war. And I know that I benefit from the West's dominance. But the fact is, we don't have the people in charge of this machine to maneuver Thucydides' trap the right way. And thus, we got to prepare for the world and the freight trains that are colliding the way they're looking like they're about to collide. Because the final piece of this puzzle is who's going to be the world reserve currency in, let's say, 25 years. Because Trump's tariff insanity got the world running away from us. And if BRICS should happen to develop a reserve currency based on Africa's mineral resources that also enriches Africa, then it's game, set, match. And Black Americans may actually be forced to choose. Who are we more aligned with? America or Africa? That's going to be a tough one, especially when your money get funny, when you only have American currency and have not invested in what looks to be the new emerging economic world order. That's just my thoughts. I'm Theo E.J. Wilson. Like, follow, and share. Let's talk about this geopolitics in the comments below. Holla back.
Right on, brother Theo. I tell you, here's another piece that he put out that I listened to. I thought it was pretty on. You know, if you want to give us a call at 215-490-9832. Brother Ted, you got something else on your mind?
No, as a matter of fact, I just had to break away for a moment if you can remember Sister Evans. Sister Evans is one who is conducting this Ma'afa-like program on tomorrow morning. So
okay.
If you can remember Sister Evans and stuff, so maybe there's the triangulation of sorts. So I just
okay.
talked with her a moment ago. So we'll see. We'll see how things work out.
All right, dear brother. Thank you, man.
I say.
Yeah, definitely would do that. But yeah, he put another piece out that I think that is worth listening to as well. But this piece here with the BRICS and, you know, Brazil, China, Russia, yeah. You know, the United States and European countries, when you look at the history, you know, they thought what they could do for, and basically because of the lack of information that the world could receive, but not in today's world. When you can see things happening, you know, live, at the moment's notice, we're seeing right now, genocide. The Palestinian people are, these European Jews who have no right to that land, none. They are not Semitic people. So how can they be, you're talking about this anti-Semitic bullshit. They're not Semitic. Palestinians are. You know? So I'm saying, you know, man, take a breath. They are not Semitic people. They're not allowed to even take a DNA test because they know they're not Semitic. They're not the Jews. They are late converts to Judaism. And the other thing on that is this. You can convert to Judaism. Judaism is a religion, but they made it out as a race, or there's no such thing as race, but as a cult. It's frustrating when the people who have done what they've done, you know. Sorry about that. Yeah, let me pull that up. The second piece that the brother has played, and because of what has happened, China is in the mix.
America's karma for its addiction to slave labor has come in the form of China's dominance. And what if I told you that both Martin Luther King and Thomas Jefferson, in a way, both predicted that this would happen? During the Vietnam era, Dr. King made a speech that said, "America, I can hear God telling you that you're becoming too arrogant. And if you're not careful, I will break the backbone of your power and give it to a nation that doesn't even know my name." What was the backbone of America's power? Manufacturing. What's the nation that didn't know God's name? communist, atheist China. You see, what a lot of people don't talk about is that the deindustrialization of America was targeted towards black communities first, because they saw that these communities were being supported by men who have abilities to provide for their families in a way that made them economically competitive. So the first manufacturing plants that were flattened were targeted to black communities. This industrial flattening soon spread to white communities. And it was all about America being able to make a quick buck for pennies on the dollar, that same addiction that it had forged in the cotton fields the South. In his essay, Notes on the State of Virginia, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "If you should ever have occasion to beat your slave, always make sure you do so when your child is not present." See, he saw himself in a moment of clarity abusing one of his enslaved workers with his son watching, and realized that he was teaching his son a kind of loosed passions and rageful behavior that would pass down to the generations and make them both rageful and lazy. In that essay, Thomas Jefferson talked about how nations rise and fall on their discipline and industry. And if slavery should persist, it could corrupt these qualities in white Americans. And since America learned how to practice a capitalism that was based on lowest possible wages with highest amount of output, it was only a matter of time before they took the shortcut instead of the long way in its own industry. This kind of racism hustled backwards for so many generations for white America. It's hard to tell when things could have gone a different direction, but I say it should have happened in the labor movement. When had white laborers allowed black laborers into their unions, the bosses would have never had a chance to deindustrialize in the first place. And now the dog whistle racist politics of MAGA have created a political fiction that blinded millions of people into voting for somebody who was the worst possible steward for the wealth that America had built over so many centuries. $10 trillion gone in the stock market in a matter of weeks. See, when you have a business model that's based on parasitic labor extraction, those who know how to work hard will eventually overcome you in time, because the actual know-how to get things done is in their hands, in their minds, and in their bodies. This was inevitable. If we think that war with China will restore our dominance, I highly suggest that we rethink that sentiment. Because you never want to go to war with somebody who can out-manufacture you. Just ask the antebellum South. We tried to told them, but they wouldn't listen. One prophet after the next met the business end of a bullet. We tried to get America to be true to its integrity, which was a cause to discipline for us to take the long way to wealth instead of being addicted to the slave model that got us to be dominant powers in the first place. That's just my thoughts on this. I'm Theo E.J. Wilson. Holla back. Tell me what y'all think in the comments. Peace, peace.
Right on, my brother. Right on, brother Theo. Be looking for him again. Good commentary. Yeah. Yeah. But the system itself was designed the way it's turned out, because the system was built upon a greed. I don't know if you remember I told you about after Nagasaki and Hiroshima dropped those bombs and Japan was rebuilding. A Caucasian named Edward Demings had a model for business model. And American business didn't want it. They rejected it because it was a more holistic business model with a, you know, at the top, small at the top, a little bit bigger. And then, I mean, it's the same chart here in America, very small at the top, but the distribution of the wealth, the distribution of the wealth was different. You see?
At the top, see? Small at the top.
So what happened was Edward Demings sold it to Japan, and Japan worked that model, and I believe other Asian countries, particularly China, worked that model. So everybody shared. But in America, you know, the top people get it, and middle management get it a little bit more. But you, the worker, the one who makes the product, you're the ones who do the production, you know. Do you know that the minimum wage hasn't been increased in this country And so it's still $7.50 a damn hour. Man, this is a very evil, selfish ass system. And they talk about it in such glowing terms. Like it's all that. It ain't about nothing. Yeah. Well, before I go to the break, let me get into a call or two or whatever if I can. You know, it starts twice. I got a number of you in the queue. So if you want to talk about what we want to talk about today, which is, of course, on you. Brother Irv, how you doing, man?
Baba OG.
What's up, brother?
I'm doing good, Baba OG.
Yes, sir.
You know I'm listening to you, Baba. You know I'm sitting here just taking this all in. Because the topics that you bring up are so relevant right now, they really apply to what's going on. When you put someone in charge, it's like being all of us being in a car, and we take the 12-year-old who's never driven the car before, and say you're going to drive, and we're all going to go to sleep, mm-hmm. and we wake up, we'll be where we're going to be. Yeah, we're going to be in hell because we're going to die. Because the reality is the man that's running this country. And they realize that. It's not that he's running the country. It's the people behind him and around him who are steering him or letting him steer. Mm-hmm. And if you watch his results, Baba, he's actually the bully tactics that he's doing are so predictable. Mm. So now that people have, you know, they figured him out the first 4 years he was in. But now they've figured him out. The one guy on the television said, this is the white man. He said, when Trump says tariffs, don't pull your money out of the stock market. Just wait a minute. He will back up and he will retract everything he says. The first time he did it, everything went nuts. But now people are starting to realize this is his tactic.
Right.
He talks real big. He blows a lot of smoke. And then he comes back after you got scared and offers you half of what he was going to give you. And you say, okay. So now everyone has peeped it. The game. So now no one is jumping.
Right.
And Baba Oshi, I don't know if you saw this on the internet, and you know, like we said before, you don't know what's AI and what's not.
Sure.
But supposedly Trump sent an envoy to Burkina Faso to speak with.
Was it Major Langley?
Yeah, he went over there to apologize for Langley.
Apologize for Langley. Okay. Yeah.
From what I understand, they said Langley misspoke because he talked down to Touré, telling him what to do with his gold and all that type of stuff. And I think they're realizing that Africa has risen those old ways that they were using to corral the people in Africa. It's not working anymore. Mm-hmm. They hit him in the head with Jesus. They hit him with the IMF. With the loans, they don't take the loans. We don't want the aid. We don't want your Jesus. None of that. And so now they have to talk to them like equals, Baba. That's the thing, Baba Oshi. Africans have always been superior to these Caucasians. It may not seem like it when you look at it. They tried to make us slaves and they took us away from our country. But Baba, like my father used to say, at the end of the day, if you stay to what you know is true and what you know is right, your time will come. And I know this for a fact that Africa's time is now. Africa has risen. The rest of the world hasn't seen it yet, but they have risen. Baba Oshi, they're having discussions about why is there a military base in Africa, but we don't have a military base in these other countries? Why don't we have military bases in France? Why does France have a base here? We don't have a base there. And they know what's coming next. Mm-hmm. What's coming next is the franc. They're going to remove and once they start to remove the money, then that's when the playing field will actually level. Because now, because you can print as much money as you want. You lend me some money, I have to pay you back in your money.
Yeah, that's
but
that's,
you can print this money.
Right. That's why the debt that America has can be written off. And you know, downtown Atlanta, there's this big billboard, may be in some other cities too, where they show the amount of debt that America owes itself, you know, in trillions of dollars.
That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, right. You know, but just as the cat said, you know, Africa's debt has to be repaid in America's currency, in America's currency. But America, because it's their currency, they can write it off. You know,
that's right.
That don't mean nothing. And to me, in what Africa should be about in this coming together of African countries and African heads of state for these countries to develop that one solid unification of Africa, you know, that we have no debt, especially to Europeans. We have zero debt. All the stuff that you have stolen.
Correct.
All the human potential that you have denigrated and erased, all the mineral wealth and land you have stolen? No.
We owe you nothing.
We owe you nothing. In fact, you owe us, when we get it together, we will be talking about the bill that y'all owe us in the world court, our court and in the world court, because there has to be some kind of restitution, some kind of
reparations.
Some kind of reparations, because it's only right. It's only justified.
Everybody else got it.
Oh, no doubt
Everybody
about it.
Everybody else got it.
But that's what it should be. You can't do a people with what they've done to us and just say, okay, bygones are bygones. Hell no. You have benefited tremendously. Tremendously.
No.
Impoverished us. Denigrated us, demeaned us, you know, no, mm-mm. Enslaved us. Mm. And you saying, no, you don't deserve any reparations. You should be, you know,
no,
at one time they arrogantly said reparations. This is early on in the reparations movement. You should be thankful that you're here.
Yeah.
You know, reparations. You should be thankful you live in America. Hell, yes, could be in Africa. You'd be worshiping a tree or some shit. I'll tell you, man, the arrogance of these people, man, is just so serious.
It's past arrogance.
Yeah.
It's past arrogance. They don't even look at you as a human being, and they still don't.
Right.
They look at, like he said, it's a shithole country. You're right. And we this is the part that black people didn't. Everything that's done in Africa was done in the United States, to me. Black people tried to leave here, and white folks are, no, Marcus Garvey, you can't take out Negroes. You can't take them, so we'll get rid of you. So you, because it was a movement at one time.
Sure.
The Garveyites were trying to leave.
Yes.
And they wouldn't let you leave. Why? Why won't you let me leave?
Well,
they wouldn't let you. And now in Africa, you don't want to leave Africa. All of a sudden, you don't want. Why don't you want to leave if it's such a shithole country and it's so backwards? Because you're raping us. You're raping us for our resources. Used to be human resources. Now you're raping for the minerals, which you've always been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason the lights are on in Paris is because of the uranium in Africa. So
Europe has benefited tremendously from Africa over these many centuries in various ways. The light of information that we provided in the western part of Europe, you know, the Europeans were in a dark age, in a medieval age, you know, very barbaric, fighting amongst one another consistently, you know, for hundreds of years. And the only light in Europe was in Western Europe, in Spain, Portugal, the universities that were there at the time, and so forth, teaching them how to get those animals out of the castle and put them in a corral, teaching them the development of water and bathing. That's what I say when don't throw the baby out with the bath water, because the baby was the last one to take a bath. This is deep, man. You know, it's crazy. But this is how that happened. If you go look it up, you know, that saying, you know, but the thing is this, you know, we have assisted them in their rise consistently. And to me, it's over. They should just take a step back, allow us to do what we're going to do, get your money together so you can repay us for the things that you have stolen, all the hell that you have caused,
That's
and
right.
so forth. Just get ready to do it. Just get ready to do it. That's how I look at it. Now, will it happen that way? Of course it won't happen that way because they're not that kind of people. They're not a just and honest people. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Notice the playbook. Notice the playbook is the same. In this country, they never show a black man in a very high position. You see how long it took for someone of a pigment in his skin to be the president of the United States, because they know that in order to be one, we as a people have to see one. So they never want to show you your leaders, your Garveys, your Amos Wilsons, your the people who said to hell with this. Mm-hmm. You never see them on TV.
Oh, no.
You'll see these cornbread, collard green eating Negroes that succumb to it. So what happens in Africa? If you never see a truly free sovereign nation, you got to see one to be one.
Right.
So what's happening now? You see one. You're looking at the AES, and you're looking at these countries, and you're saying they're not taking a loan, they're not taking aid, they're not looking for an EBT card. So and this is why I believe that what Trump is doing is going to. It's waking American Africans up. Mm-hmm. Take their EBT. Cut down their Social Security. Take their Medicaid. Oh, there will be blood. But what they also will be is a rising up of a people to do for yourself and kind.
Right.
And that's what this is about. Do for us. Do for you. Don't be ashamed to say, Kamala, I can't do nothing just for black people. Why? White folks, Trump just pardoned some goddamn reality show TV people who lied and stealed and went to jail. He just pardoned them. He's doing for self and kind. Why can't we do things for American Africans? What is wrong with saying, I want to be around people that look like me, that talk like me, that we're all going in the same direction? What is wrong with us coming together as a people? Nothing. And that's why they raise some of us and don't raise others, so that we can have a division. But there is no more division, Baba Oshie. We are all Africans.
That's right. We're one.
If you ain't in Africa, Africa is in you. Everything
that's
is
right.
done the African way. And this is you won't see this on a T-shirt. You won't see a sports figure standing up saying, "I'm African." Africans, you'll see him saying, "I'm Malcolm. I'm an African."
Yep.
So let's just say it. You say it, you do it, you be it, you believe it, and it comes to reality. And that's what's happening now, Baba Oshie. People are the mind, and they want to get to the children because they know that the children are impressionable. Old cats, man, you can't pry them away from their slave master's religion. You can't pry that Bible out their hand. But the children ain't got the Bible. They're trying to find their way.
That's
and
right.
when you look at Africa, Africa is such a practical country.
And that's what's happening. The youth are demanding this change. The youth seen, I think Wednesday's program, I talked about some of the leaders in Africa who have been in the leadership position, misleadership position for decades. Some have been in that position 30, 40 years or more, you know. And so, this is a renaissance. This is the awakening. This is Africa's rise. And we're talking about Africa's rise together, you know?
Yes. So, yes.
Yeah.
And we get to see it. We get a front row seat to history. And Africa always was going to... Africa never actually was extinguished. They everything dark is bad. The dark continent, the dark people, old days of darkness. Anything dark is bad.
Right.
Anything white is good. See, and that's subliminally, especially when you're teaching a European curriculum, because that's what they're teaching them over there. The same thing they teach the black people here. They teach us a European curriculum. They're teaching us about what white folks did, and it's a lie. Mm-hmm. It's a lie. They didn't. This is a. It reminds me of their religion.
Right.
The religion doesn't make sense, and neither does their curriculum in the school. You know damn well Thomas Jefferson was a pedophile. You know it, not know it.
Oh, yeah, Sally Hemings
says it.
Like she was in her teens, early teens, man.
She was a child.
You know?
He was having sex with a child. Oh, that's what they did back then. Really? So the thing, I look on TV the other day, Papa Oshie, real quick, and I'm going to let someone else get on. I look up and I see Stephen A. Smith talking to John Hannity. Mm-hmm. And he's talking to him as if he's representing someone other than himself. See, he believes he's speaking to the black people when he speaks to Stephen A. Smith. Because Stephen A. is telling everybody, you know, the same way Diddy did. You know, I come from the hood. Dave Chappelle, you know, I was in the hood, but you didn't come from the hood. Your people were, come on, stop playing. Your people were well off. Y'all didn't have seven people in one house with one bathroom. No, y'all didn't have that, brother. Stop. Your mother was a school teacher. My mother didn't work.
Yeah.
So no, Baba Oshie, I think what they're doing... It's getting the whole playbook is getting old. Everyone has seen it, and that's the thing about the internet. You get numb to things because you've seen it before. Mm-hmm. I don't even watch the slip and fall videos anymore. Remember, you first turned the internet on, somebody fell, Well, that's funny the first 8,000 times you see it, but it's not anymore. It's the same way with this racism, white supremacy. You see it, and it's clear as day. And I love the fact that they don't hide it. I'd rather have a cat that doesn't hide his racism towards me than someone who comes and acts like he's, what did the guy say, a friend and a benefactor, all this type of stuff. Those are the types of ones that scare me because they're sneaky. Mm-hmm. They're sneaky. They act like they're your friends, but they're not. They're only here because we work together. I work with cats 25, 30 years. I retired. Ain't nobody called me, say nothing. Why? Because we never were friends. We were friendly. It's a difference, Barbara.
Yeah.
And when you start talking about Africa, everybody gets stupid. Don't nobody know what I'm talking about, but they do know what I'm talking about. Because they understand that Africa is a continent full of everything that you need and nobody wants to pay for it.
Yep.
And that's the I truth, Barbara. Let somebody else talk. Right, man, you know I can talk forever on my homeland because I have a homeland. It's Africa, and so do you.
Yes, sir. Ashe.
Ashe. Ashe.
And I love it.
Somebody else talking about. Yeah. Okay. I'm listening, man. I'm listening.
All right, my brother. Yeah. It's ours. And we need to claim it. We need to work with brothers and sisters on the continent and throughout the diaspora and claim it. We must have brothers and sisters go to school there to learn what it's going to take to run the continent. I ain't mean just one particular country. I'm talking about my vision is the continent is ours. My vision is the Pan-African Federalist movements, one Africa, not North, South, not Sub-Saharan, none of that. It's one Africa. And if those occupying individuals want to maintain, then you're going to be dictated to by us. If you deal with it, you deal with it. If you don't, get your ass out. Because the bottom line is, you have prevented. When I saw that piece on Namibia, you know, it just bothers me so much how these Europeans in this moment, in this day and age, can continue to do what they have done. I can understand if it was 40, 50, 60 years ago, but I'm talking about today. At this moment in real time, you can see it. And so, no, it's going to change. There's no doubt in my mind. And I love what's happening. I feel good about what's happening. You know, and more countries will begin to follow suit. Because it's, especially to those old dudes who are still presidents of countries that have no problem with Europeans. Because Europeans have paid them off so that, no, it has to change. And the young people in those countries must rise up and demand a removal of those individuals, demand elections, develop someone who is going to speak to the will and aspirations of those young people for a better future for their country, and to utilize the mineral wealth of that country so that all of them can be enriched. Yeah, it's a new day. It's a new day, my brother. Right on, my brother Irv been saying that to me. He said, you're going to see it. And hey, I love it. I just hope it continues. In fact, I got me an Ibrahim Traoré t-shirt I'm going to be wearing in EDI. That's right, when I go to New Orleans next week. Be wearing my t-shirt proudly.
Ibrahim Traore. You know, and to me, even if these Negroes, through the direction of the United States, of France, of England, or whoever else, find a way to kill him, that's not the end. That's not like time before. That's not like Patrice Lumumba and so many others that you assassinated. And then in the Congo, you did that to Lumumba. Oh, it's savage what they did, savage. And then put in Bamutu Seki Seko as he continued to rip off the country. And so many others. No, that's over. That's over. And I love to see young people in that age group of 30 to 50, between 30 and 50, who are committed to change, who are committed to unity, who are committed to sharing resources. I may be a country that don't have resources, but does that mean I got to be impoverished? No. What it means, we share. So if the resources that I have produced so many things, I can share with you. Maybe your land, maybe you don't have the resource, but you got good land. Good farmland. What it is the coming together of us and the deciding for ourselves. This is what sovereignty is all about, family. This is what sovereignty is all about. I only got a few more minutes. I'm going to cut it off at 12:30 Eastern time. I really appreciate, once again, the opportunity. Since I had some time, I always, you know, appreciate it. And I know next week I'm going to ask Brother Irv if he can sit in for a day or two, whatever, if he can. And, you know, see what's happening. But otherwise, I know Brother Quake, who will put in a previous program. I have many. Maybe you had to go back way back in the archives and pluck something out. Because if you go to timeforanawakening.com, you go to the top of the page, African Perspective, or Podcast Programs, excuse me. And then when you get to the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. And you click on that, there's a wealth of programs that we have done over the many years. We have a lot of content. And so that's what we do. Yep. Brother Paul, how you doing, Brother Paul? How you doing, my brother?
Yes, Brother Oshie. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. I'm doing well. I'm on my way to New Orleans to our annual firefighter training program.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'll be gone all next week. And
Wow. Let me just turn down this radio. Sorry.
Okay.
Baba Oshie, something you played earlier on stirred up a little thought in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it was on what we're thinking of is, you know, that they say in this country, we said that, according to them, that the Industrial Revolution was started in this country, yeah?
Okay.
But the truth be known, the money for that Industrial Revolution came out of the enslaved Africans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think I've only maybe heard this talked about on one on your side of the pond once, okay. Maybe, I think. That, you see, what was happening in England at the time, one of the biggest products which was coming out of America was cotton.
Exactly.
And that came to Europe.
Exactly.
But what was happening, which is not talked about on your side, is the big turning point came is when a lot of the unions started to form because they couldn't compete economically with the fact that these people were producing these cotton for free. So on this side of the world, I know in England, and I guess it was probably happening all around Europe. But in England, for instance, the dockers and the tradespeople started to refuse to take the cotton, right? And that obviously caused big problems in America. So what I'm saying is, I've never really hear it on your side of the pond that another reason why they had to start to change that system because they couldn't sell that product, and a lot of it was going to Europe. Understand? And the workers here saw that, you know, they basically were saying that, you know, they can't take no product, nothing from.
Right.
It was almost like what's happening today. They said they can't take it because they can't compete. You know what I mean? They can't compete with free labor.
Mm-hmm.
And that right. is
you
not.
Can't. You can't. You can't compete with free labor.
Right.
Know?
But what I'm saying is that factor is not equated in. And that's a big factor because mm-hmm. most of that product was coming to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Now that reminds me of, that makes me think about something else. I think when I listen to there's one person which I've heard, which I consider has a real type of open mind. He's an academic. He's a professor. I think he's Gerald Horn. I don't know if you're familiar
man. Oh yeah, Gerald Horn. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. No. Well, I think. Obviously he's a professor in academia, so I expect that from him, but he's very good in that he has that overstanding, that sure. international view, and he can put the pieces together. Mm-hmm. Because for me, Bob Olchi, if, you know, I don't expect the normal person to be able to do that. He's an academia. That's what he does for a living.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is if those pieces are not put together, then a lot of the conclusions are really ignorant. Mm-hmm. In that basis, that's the ignorance right. means they're ignoring the facts. They're not putting the facts together. It's just opinionated. It's not really mm-hmm. what the problem is. They can only see the problem from their perspective, from their locality. But the problem's not coming from their perspective, and it's not coming from their locality. And that's ignorance. And that's when you're ignoring the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you listen, if I've listened to Gerald Horn, he automatically makes them connections, obviously, because he studied it, and he studied that his forte.
Mm-hmm.
But look, and so when we listen to the piece you played, I often think, well, you know, that's not exactly accurate, because if you don't understand that this pseudoscience, what they're calling economics, played a massive part in it, in that the material was cut, and most of those banks which you see today in America, they came out of that era. They mm-hmm. came out of that era through cotton trading. They mm-hmm. were the ones who were collecting the money and right. making the exchanges.
Right.
That's how they started.
See,
you understand?
Bank,
so when you see
Bank of America, all of them, yes, they did.
Yes, that's where they came mm-hmm. from. So you imagine now, all of a sudden, they can't, and that money was being made internationally. This mm-hmm. is the point, what's not being, has to be recognized. It wasn't just being made in America. If it was being made in America, they wouldn't have been able to do what they did. They were selling this thing around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And, you know, the British, we learned in school that the Industrial Revolution started here. But what they didn't tell us is that the money came out of the enslaved Africans, their mm-hmm. colonies in America, their right. colonies in the Caribbean. That is where that's the part they left out for us. It's only I learned that much later on, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say this as well. You know, another thought I had, you know, in the British Museum, for instance, I've heard this. I can't verify it, but okay. certain people have heard this. And apparently, a man, I forget his name, but there was a man who lived in Britain at the time. He's from Ghana, and he done a documentary. And what he discovered, that under the British Museum, there's like rooms, like apparently it's massive. Apparently, I don't know. I can't verify it, but okay. he says it's massive. And he was able to talk them into going down in and looking, and what they held down there. And they held, like wrapped up in paper or plastic or whatever it's wrapped up in, loads and loads of African artifacts, loads of them. And apparently, you know, sure. someone said it was miles underground. It was sure. just loads and loads of rooms underground, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
I've never seen it. I've found the person. And I've seen that he's made the documentary, but I've never actually been able to get the documentary to watch it myself. But what I'm saying is that I often think, right, they've got all this stuff down there, yeah? And, you know, he said he was shocked about the amount of stuff mm-hmm. they're holding down there.
Yeah.
Now you've got to ask yourself the question, yeah, really, in this reality, why are they holding on to these stuff so much? What is it? What is it that they, you know, if it was like this, oh, this rubbish, you know, like you say, you say we're running around in rags and they saw a culture which was just backward and whatever. Why would they want to hold on to these stuff? What is it for them? Why they want to hold on to this stuff? Yeah. Now, like I've told you before, right? I've traded in masks. Bought and sold masks. Some very expensive. Yeah. And 99% of the time, it's white people, white men,
right?
Who are in control of that business. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they fully understand the value. It's not Africans have no look into it. They just don't see no value in it.
But now, it's theirs. But it's theirs. Huh? It's theirs. They're the ones that did it.
Right. You know? The point I'm trying to make to you, Baba Ochi, that is really troubling for me. Right. Look, I was speaking to a woman on the week a couple of days ago, and we got in a conversation. I was at a place and I wanted to go and buy this figurine, this Zimbabwean soapstone figurine, and I realized I didn't have enough money. And I was talking to this woman and she straight away, I started talking about masks and some of the things I do. And she straight away, she identifies herself as Christian, straight away dismissed it. Oh, they're masks of this and they're masks of that and they're masks of this. Now I know the woman, she makes dresses. She's very skilled, makes dresses and makes, all kind of things for people, wedding dresses and all this sort of stuff. Very skilled woman, right? And I was very surprised. In my mind, I'm saying that straight away the ignorance comes. You tell me you're Christian and whatever, and this is what you're telling me. And it's pure ignorance, because the reality of it is that what you're talking about is culture. It's deep-rooted culture. Culture is a form of expression. It's part of how your soul communicates to the world. That's what it is. Now, how is it that these white men understand that about you, understand the value, and they're not letting it go? But you, the ones whose ancestors created, don't even understand that.
Yeah.
See what this Christianity's done to us? I'm sorry to say, you know, it's the religion what's done this dumbing down of us.
Yes, it did.
And it's really, by design. And even today as we speak, it's even worse. The dumbing down is, we are seriously dumbed down, right? Now, so hear what I'm saying to you, right? I heard a lady on Time for Awakening, and she made a very profound point. Apparently, she's in England, an American lady, yeah? And she was talking about the Benin bronzes, right?
Right.
And she made such a profound point. Now, some of them Benin bronzes, they're invaluable. There's no price on them, you know? They can't value them. They're priceless. Imagine that. That's African art. They're priceless, yeah? Mm-hmm. And she made a point about the different materials they were using. But she also made a very good point. In that she said that what she's trying to do is get some of her students or people who are involved with her to start remaking them. And I said to myself, look at that. Mm. That is a fantastic, fantastic, profound idea. And that is because it made me realize something. That is what we should be doing. Because what they've done, they've convinced us that we don't have no value. And we actually believe that.
Right.
So we're looking for all the things that they shut. All the things that they're shining, yeah? They're shining all these things that are telling us about economics, if you do this and do that nonsense, yeah? But the reality is the value comes from within you. That's why they're holding on to these things and they will not let them go. They recognize the value, but we don't. We have been so bamboozled. It doesn't matter how we talk, if we talk conscious or not. I'm telling you, I've seen the evidence. Mm-hmm. We are so bamboozled. When we put a cross on our wall, we put a white picture of Jesus Christ, right? This is the dractomania going on. Dractomania. We are totally, totally out of our righteous minds. And I know people don't like when it's been said. I know I don't like it. But sometimes you have to talk the truth. Because the truth is, the value is always going to come from within. It's never going to come from without. And the things they're shining at us, all the little pieces of jewelry, pieces of metal, that's not where the value is. The value is coming from us. So when we sing, when we create art, when we make things, create things, right? Create and manufacture things, that's where the value is going to come from. And we've got to get back to that state of mind. Because right now, our state of mind is still in this man's hands.
Yeah.
It's still. We still see the value from everything. Because, no matter how we talk.
Yeah. That's unfortunate because it is a small group of us
who they have given prominence to, but they do their bidding. And we look to them. We look to them. And so therefore,
they're the Pied Pipers.
Right. And they keep us in this state of fuck that we're in.
That is a strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
That's a strategy. You're right. 100%. That is a well-defined strategy to keep us distracted. So mm-hmm. we do not recognize. And it's happening, you know.
Yeah.
I listen to the talk and it's happening. It's really happening. We do not see the value in ourselves. We do not see the value in each other. Yeah, and obviously, if you don't see the value in yourself, you ain't going to see the value in someone who looks like you. You're not going to see it.
You're not.
And that's how they manage to maintain their system. Yeah. You understand?
I hear you. Well, listen, Brother Paul, I'm going to get ready to go, man. I'm going to take off here.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I know you got to get out of here, so I'm not going to keep you much longer. You know, we really have to. It's not really about. I don't believe in the Messiah. Worship one person's going to lead the way, and that's going to happen. That's fruitfulness.
No.
You got to see the value in yourself. And you know, when I'm talking to you, Baba Ochi, I'm reminded of the example you've set. You're the one, right? You're the one who changed your name. Now, what is that? And you're the one who says it's not about changing your name. And you're right, 100%. It's not about changing your name, but you're the one who saw that value in yourself. You're the one who proved. That, listen here, what I'm going to show that first part of it is the name call, right? And I agree with you, 100,000,000%. You understand? Mm-hmm. So you don't know, you're not only just here talking. You've actually set the bar. And I want to put that out there. You've set the bar for that. You change your name. That's the first demonstration in that you recognize the value in yourself. You know. Who you are.
Right. But by me doing that, my orientation became that I look to Africa. You know, I look to Africans. I embraced it. You know, I want to share and give myself and do whatever I can to elevate and raise that consciousness as well. Because that's what time it is. That's why it's important. Now, understand something, Brother Paul. I don't advocate name changes. I advocate mind changes, because when your mind is right, you will do all the things that are right. If you feel you need to change your name, change the way that you do things and so forth in an African way, that you are going to embrace that, that you're going to exemplify that, that you're going to, you know, show that is the way for us, then so be it. But if you know, there's people who have done some evil stuff with beautiful names that were given to them, you know, but yet, I'm saying it's not about the name change. It's about the mind change. And we're, you know, that's what we're dealing with. And we're doing that. And you are a part of making that happen consistently, brother. Well,
Baba Ochi, the beautiful thing about that, is that there are people here on this side of the pond who have also changed their names, But sometimes, I'll be honest with you, some of them, one or two of them, I recognize the type of arrogance. And in that, I'm changed my name. Look at me. This is who I am. But in reality, when you watch their behavior, the behavior is not conducive to what they're trying to achieve. Right. Whereas when I look at your example, and you're the first person to say what you've just said, you're the first person I've heard to say that. Mm-hmm. And I actually knew that, because it's not about the name change. Mm-hmm. It's about your mindset. That's yeah. Right. And That's last right. thing I want to say, I started this journey. Right. This conscious journey I'm on. And I, at the time, I'm using this word for the sake of this argument. I believed that a person's mindset couldn't be changed. Then I went on a journey and I met what I assume were conscious people, and I got involved with them, different meetings and organizations. And a lot of them just let me down, because then I recognized something, that a lot of them were just acting and pretending. They're not real. You understand?
Right.
And here I am today, and I'm sitting on the fence thinking, can mindset really be changed? I don't know. And that's, I have to honestly say, it's like I've come around in a circle. I don't know if the person's mindset, if they have a mindset of subjudication or I don't know, backwardness, for lack of a better word, or whatever, can that be changed? I don't know. I believe it with you. Maybe you can answer that.
Yeah, I believe that.
I don't know.
I believe that it can, but that individual has to get out of
the situation.
Hello?
And hello, can you hear me? That individual has to get out of the situation that has been dominating him to make him or her behave and think the way that they do. You got to get out of it. But anyway, I got to go, brothers and sisters, brother Paul, brother Irv.
Hello. Yes, sir. Bob, I just wanted to say that when a conscious mind sees colonization, then we get a brother Paul. Brother Paul is so educated, not miseducated, but he and I hear his voice, his emotion. That's only because when you're conscious and you see colonization and you know you understand it. It bothers you, and I hear it in his voice. I love listening to Paul. Bob, I know you got to go, so get going. Don't be late. and safe travel, big brother. We'll talk for sure.
Peace. All right. Yes, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful day, a good, great weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Isante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahore. Bibi Fahore means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.